I'm Andrew, and it's a bonus episode. I'm here in the Brisbane Convention Centre. The air conditioning has been turned off, at my request, and I'm ready to kick off our newest conference. Self-help is dead, folks. It's a thing of the past. Other gurus may have been asking you to help yourself, but I'm here with a new paradigm. I'm here to ask for something new today. I'm here to ask you to help me. That's right. It's the 2024 Me Help Conference. Ask not what your attendees can do for themselves. Ask what they can do for you. I see some hands in the audience. Anyone happy to come up here? You there, sir, in the trucker cap and the Bigfoot is real and really fucking sexy t-shirt. What's your name?
Well, it's Ben.
Theo.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. You want to take this one, Ben?
I could buy you a trucker cap. I actually have several spares if you want one.
That's great, Ben. Let me ask you. What are you going to do for me today? Today, like right now, what are you going to do for me?
Just to be clear, this isn't a subjective me help. The me is always you.
It's, yeah. It's I'm putting on the conference.
It's you're not here self-help. To help me. It's Andrew help.
Yes. Yes. If you want to put on your own conference and get people along and have them help you, hey, more power to you. But that's not what today's about. Today's about me help.
It's about
help
you,
me.
Yeah.
Help me. What are you going to do to help me?
I've already given you $37 to attend.
Mm-hmm. Is that all of the money you have?
Well, I mean, I've got some stuff in my savings account I could maybe move over. I just don't see how it would help. Oh, you're right. I'm getting into the mindset now.
Yeah, it's no, that's about helping you. We're talking about helping me today.
Yes.
Stop focusing on yourself so much, you know. Try and get out of your head.
You know, because at first I was thinking, how would helping Andrew help my goals?
Uh-uh. That's no.
Ask backwards. How would helping Andrew help Andrew's goals? Oh my God, it makes so much sense.
It's becoming clearer, isn't it?
Yeah. Like if I give you all my money, it's going to help you.
Yes.
Problem solved.
Yes. And are you doing that now?
Yeah. Sorry.
I do have my pay ID up on the projector behind me. That goes for everyone ID. In the audience.
I also just want to point out that I really like that once you did realize it was a bonus episode, you did take the welcome out of your intro. You've already been welcomed. We've welcomed you before, clearly.
It was on the email.
Yeah.
You're already inside the house, you know. You are the vampire who has been invited once.
Yes.
You know?
Which applies forever.
And all the doors are closed now.
Yeah. You can't leave. Please don't leave.
Don't go.
I don't want you to go.
Now, while we wait for your authenticator app to work there, how about the gentleman sitting next to you, the lithe fellow, absolutely thrumming with sexual energy? What's your name, sir?
Hello. Theo.
It's great to meet you, Theo. Why don't you do something for me? Open up your wallet. Why don't you just turn out your pockets there. Let's see what's going on. I'm just going to hold on to your car keys for you until you do something for me. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do to make my life better and easier today?
Okay. So I'm not going to give you anything physical, but I'm going to give you an idea. Now, we spend so much time on our phones every day. We're like glued to them, these screens. Do you remember a time before that when we talked to each other, when we felt good about ourselves? That's right. I'm here to give you the idea of the Unihertz Jelly Star.
You know what a property of adhesion is that the larger the surface area is, the more you will stick to that thing.
Yes, yes.
Mm. How could you be glued to the screen if the screen is about the size of a postage stamp?
The screen is tiny. You can't adhere to it at all.
Because you can barely use it. You can't fucking read anything on it.
I saw another phone, like literally before we started recording, as a mock-up for a phone, the Lite 3. They've done two previous iterations. The previous ones were just like a black and white e-ink display.
Yeah, I like that.
Of this one, they've moved to OLED, but same kind of concept, right? Black and white phone, just got the essentials on it. I thought, shit.
I could have a worse phone.
I could. I'm really pouring a lot of energy into this phone because it's got color. But what if...
Is e-ink... Do you need a light source to read e-ink? It's not like self-lit.
Yes, but it can be built into the screen.
That's fucking dope, though. Imagine if you couldn't like do the thing where you use your phone like just as you're going to bed.
Couldn't look at your phone in the dark.
Couldn't like look if at you your get phone trapped in the dark, in a cave,
like, you can't use your phone at all.
Has anyone got a match?
I
need
honestly,
to open Google Maps.
I 100% support what you've done, and I honestly think it would make my life a million times better.
Yeah.
Until I remember that I need to use my phone for work constantly, and like not being able to do anything on it would actually be a problem for me.
Well, they should get you a work phone.
Who's they? It's me. I should get me a work phone.
You should get you a work phone
that you could just turn off later. Like,
yeah.
I am also into this idea. And then you sort of think to yourself, like, oh, you could just get like, you know, get a flip phone. Get a phone that just like
get a razor.
Get a phone that makes calls and sends text messages, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like, see, I gotta use it for my transit. That's where the sweet spot comes in. The sweet spot's different for all of us, but I think the sweet spot is in a smaller phone.
I think it's about a knuckle and a half in.
Break free of the shackles. They are selling you poison.
Yeah.
So you're giving me your phone? Is that what I'm taking away from this?
I'm giving you the idea.
The idea of having a phone you can't use.
I need this phone to pay for my parking. Because my credit card's on it. And you just took my credit card.
You could just take your credit card. You could take a paper map with you when you went places.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And print out all of your bus schedules.
What's the binder? What's the Brisbane version of like the Melways thing called? What's that called?
Oh, are you talking about
the book of street maps?
Yeah. It's the like Uncle Refidex. Toby's. The Refidex.
Yeah, the Refidex. I had a Refidex in my car up until I'm going to say, I don't think I needed one by the time I moved to Brisbane, but I did need one when I moved to the Sunny Coast. So I think I was still using a Refidex in like 2008.
Oh, I was absolutely using a Refidex up until like 2009 or something. Because I moved to Brisbane in 2006 and I worked a lot of site work and I had no idea where anything was. So I had to do everything by Refidex in my Hyundai XL.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last night as I was falling asleep. I don't know why, but I was thinking about, I have a strong memory of the first time that I ever like won an in-person argument by looking up something on my phone.
Oh.
And it was.
Because that's very important to you.
Yeah, I love being correct.
That's why you filed that away, because it is. It's
knowing that
it's meaningful for you.
But I knew one thing in a situation. I'm now entirely against it. I believe that the phone is like really detrimental to like pub conversation. It's the conversation in general. It's just not good. Yeah. But I was
kind of takes the rhetoric element out of it.
Yeah. You're not trying to convince. There's no guesswork. That's how conversation happens, is talking around something.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's right until you get home and you look it up and either you message the person to say, you fucking moron.
You idiot. Whereas in this instance, I was at the Pig and Whistle at Sunshine Plaza on the Sunny Coast. I was drinking probably a Midori and lemonade because that was my beverage at the time.
That is,
and
thinking about buying some Midori.
A dire scenario generally you have outlined.
It's so nuts. I was living a very different life. So I was...
Ben, I used to get Midori and pineapple juices.
I bet it's tasty as fuck.
That's but delicious. Think about how much sugar you get in here with everyone.
But also, that's like half a standard drink in each of those as well. So probably better for you. Some guy I was talking to was like, Donnie Darko came out in the 80s, and I was like, you idiot, it was 1999.
Shut the fuck up, you say.
And then I used the browser on my Nokia 6300, which render CSS. It could only do HTML, so it made Wikipedia look like it was only text. There was unformatted text.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, hey, look, Wikipedia.
Guy's like, you just wrote this down in your phone before you came out to the pub.
This is the Notepad app. He said, how come you got internet on your phone? But also, doesn't that seem nuts? That was like 2008. That's not that long ago.
Yeah, that's 6 years ago. 2024.
That's 5 years ago. Yeah. That was also around the same time, which is the last time I had someone use a clack-clack machine on my card.
Oh, and your little credit card.
Swipe. Yeah, that wasn't that long ago, and that is like feels like Stone Age-level technology.
And now we got kids looking at porno in the classroom.
Yeah.
These kids these days, they're vapes. They're looking at porno on their vape screens.
I challenge you to get aroused with an image on the Unihertz jelly stuff.
I think if you really zoomed in just enough that you could make out like one nipple, I reckon you'd have a pretty good time.
Jacking off to like grey market postage stamps with nude ladies on them.
I just got back from a week in Darwin with my in-laws, who I love and respect. And now, we'll continue this story.
Loading one barrel, loading the second barrel.
Now, I'm only saying this because we were talking about, you know, going back in time, getting around with your Refidex, with your Melways or whatever. For some reason, we spent the whole time with them driving around Darwin, where they spend a significant amount of time every year at this point. I think they spend like a month or two every year there during winter. And they don't use like a map or a nav or anything. They just drive around and go, oh, is it this street I should turn at? And they go, maybe it's the next one.
Oh, vibes-based navigation.
That is, I kind of do that now.
But like the whole time, meanwhile, huge sat nav display in the middle of the dash of their car.
Wait, do they live up there, or were you on holiday with them?
They are retired now, so and they have like a camper that they hook up to the back of their four wheel drive, and they drive from Victoria to Darwin, which is a long ass drive.
Yeah,
they drive all the way up there, and they go to a caravan park, and they stay there for, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. And then they drive back.
That's such a good lifestyle. I can't wait to get into the phase of my life where I get to do that. When I was doing like that big long drive around the US, the only people I met were like gray nomads because they were the only other people like doing the same thing I was. And they just, it's the perfect life.
They're a lot of life, aren't they?
You look at a few attractions that are like pretty cool, but not amazing. Like every day, like every single day, you see 20 things that make you go, "Well, that's just neat."
Neat,
which is just it's lovely. It's so pleasant.
Oh, I saw some lovely stuff while we were up there. Went to some national parks. Went on a sunset cruise on a catamaran.
Oh, that looked so fancy. That was delightful.
The whole time I was on there, I was just thinking, God, I can't wait to get home and watch Waterworld. This is just like the Mariner's catamaran, I kept saying to all the people around me.
I mean, he's on a trimaran, so I don't think that's really comparable.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
God damn.
Ben, just for your information, I have downloaded and put onto my Plex the Ulysses edit of Waterworld, which restores 45 minutes of plot and character development.
It's already like a 2-hour and 10-minute long movie in the original cut.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm ready.
Does it make it good? Is it like Heaven's Gate or whatever? That like the cut restores the themes.
Well, sometimes I'll watch director's cuts of movies and I go, wow, that really added like a lot of, you know, there'll be an extra 20 minutes or whatever in the movie or 30 minutes or whatever. And you go, wow, that added a whole bunch of connective tissue between these scenes or a bit of development of characters, or you understood better why some character was doing something, you know. And then there's other movies that you watch where you go, yeah, I get why you took all that out. Like, didn't really. Yeah.
Like Donnie Darko.
Like,
holy fuck, that is going to be the history's worst director's cut of any movie. He's got to be the only director that is dumber than the studio.
How about the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie has a director's cut which restores an entirely removed plot line in which Hell's Kitchen lawyer Matt Murdock is defending Coolio in a courtroom.
What?
There's a whole courtroom drama subplot revolving around Coolio that gets removed from the movie.
And they just
for some reason
very neatly just
Well, is it like Coolio playing a Coolio analog, or is it Coolio?
It is the actor Coolio playing a criminal not named Coolio, or an accused person, I should say. He's innocent. Yeah. And of course, Daredevil knows that he's innocent. Yes. You know.
Because of echolocation.
But it also puts in a bunch more material around Colin Farrell's absolutely insane character, like getting the call up and traveling from Ireland to America.
Oh, I bet that's good.
That's good stuff. He's going through the metal detector at the airport and taking out all of his things that he throws at people.
Yeah. Is more weird Irish hip hop playing in every scene that he's in.
Haven't seen it.
God, I love cinema. You know?
Yeah. We should have a movie podcast.
Boy, when they take out the Coolio subplot from the movie, that's the one thing we didn't want to happen. It's time for the one thing we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
I did have one more question about Darwin.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
On the croc cruise that you did you see either of the famous crocs? Did you see Brutus or Dominator?
Not to my knowledge. Where we went, we saw a bunch of different ones. There was a female named Turbo.
Awesome.
Who was very fast.
Mm-hmm. I love that they just give them all gladiator names. This is fucking. This is great.
Well, so
Hammer.
There were a bunch of different ones, right? There was like there was a smaller male.
Nothing wrong with that.
The tour guide was like, oh, you know, he kind of hangs out, but he like fucks off if he knows that the big alpha in the river is coming. And then we sort of saw several of the different female ones who
scraping the bottom of the water as he swims.
And then as we sort of got up further into the river, they were like feeding one crocodile, and then that one went, and got skittish and then fucked off. Oh. And we looked over behind us and the big one was coming, right? And they were like, that one there is the biggest one in this river system. The that one right there is the hugest one. It is named Scary.
That's piss weak. That's a shit name. This is a 7 meter long
name, that
dinosaur era, like fucking monster.
7 meter long, 400 kilo animal. We called it Scary.
That's so. You got to call him either Brutus or Dominator.
Yep, didn't see either of those guys, but there are different tours run in different areas, you know, and they sure do come right up to the boat and go.
Can I have a whole chicken, please?
Oh man, they were giving him like as far as I could
tell. Or that baby, I can't tell the difference.
I
don't need to.
I think they were giving them like cuts of pork.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like, you know, sort of big chunks of pork roast kind of thing, but the crocs would come up to the boat because they'd kind of splash in the water. As soon as they splash in the water, the crocs are like, ooh, and like when the guy turned the boat around, the crocodile that was like facing the boat would just remain in place, but just rotate in place to keep you right in front of it, which is very cool. And then They splash some stuff around for him a bit, and then they hold it up because they want him to do the jump, you know.
Yeah.
So you can see their head and their back and some of their tail sticking up out of the water. But then as they get ready to jump out of the water, like their tail disappears, and then their whole back disappears, and then their head just like starts to go vertical.
They get into launch position.
They absolutely do. And then they just do like a thrust with the tail and come straight up out of the water. And then you go, oh, you're like way bigger than I thought you were. You looked pretty big before, but now that you're out of the water, you look really big.
It's real. Sometimes I think it's very easy to like see a number like on paper of size and be like, oh, that's a 6.5 meter crocodile. I guess that's pretty big. And then you sort of compare that to what you know. You'd be like, oh, that's almost like two. Well, that's what, like 1.5 car lengths, maybe? Mm-hmm. You know? And you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty big. The moment you're like standing next to that, that's fucking enormous. That is crazy.
And they take like they take wild boar and like bison off the shore, you know. It's just...
I don't think a human being could fully internalize the scale of a blue whale without looking at one either. Like, I remember being a kid and seeing like a thing on the back of a packet of cornflakes or something, being like, oh, they're the length of two semi-trailers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, holy fuck, that's fucking huge. But I can know intuitively that's quite big. I think you would genuinely have to be right next to one to just understand that literally the largest thing that has ever lived on this planet and will probably ever live on this planet. It's probably like almost a Lovecraftian experience to be like, oh no, that's much bigger than I thought.
Oh, that's it's like the footage of people, you know, like diving in the ocean and like a sperm whale or whatever goes past them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't need to be out of the boat for that. I don't.
Man, one of my friends has gone.
I don't care if they're nice, you know.
A friend of mine has gone diving with humpbacks before. I can't even imagine. That's got to be like a spiritual experience at that point. Like you've got to be like, oh, I'm in the mercy of these creatures. They are godlike to me at this point.
Just experiencing an animal accession.
Yeah, yeah. This is so beyond my experience. I can't fucking understand it. This is an accession to me. This is from KSL in Utah.
The soul.
The soul. Yeah, it's not a good one. Bride-to-be holding down mattress flies out of moving truck. Couple warns of unsecured loads.
Hey.
Could have happened to any of us. You've got to
secure your loads before you get married, folks.
Yeah.
No premarital loads.
The day before Alex Kessinger's wedding was one of the scariest days of his life. It started out normally. He and his then-fiancée, Lydia Kessinger, had been finishing up some last-minute errands before their big day. One of their first things on their to-do list was to move a king-size mattress from Provo to their new place in Spanish Fork.
Can I just do a little intuiting here?
Yeah.
So they're moving their stuff together the day before the wedding, weren't living together before the marriage, but we are in Utah.
We're in Provo, Utah.
We're in Mormon country.
Yeah. So this was kind of going to be my question was, why the fuck are you like moving a mattress on the day before your wedding? That just like...
Because we've got to get in there and fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They obviously weren't living together and this was their like, the moment that wedding is over, we need to have the fucking best 37 seconds of our life.
I was going to ask who's not living together before they get married these days, and Mormons would be one answer. Sure,
Mormons. I think it's probably because these guys are Mormons,
and they're moving to Spanish Fork.
Spanish Fork.
Yeah, okay. They're going to be doing some Spanish Fork. And on that.
That sounds like slang for British people going to Ibiza and having sex.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a superstitious person. I just believe in safety first. I would say if it's the day before your wedding, just don't do any like heavy lifting or like mundane sort of like logistical tasks. You should be meditating.
Yeah,
you should be doing transcendental meditation. You should be focusing on all the feelings of love that you have for your partner.
Yes.
And if you look deep inside and there are none there, cancel the wedding.
Yeah.
Empty your nuts as well.
Yep,
that's just a good planning thing. You want to kind of reduce your level so you don't go over top.
If you're in like a Mormon situation and you're getting married the next day, you want to spend the day before draining yourself dry.
Yeah, you want that.
A dozen nuts.
Get puffs a dozen of nuts dust done. Coming out of there.
A baker's dozen nuts.
Yeah,
just to like make sure that by the time you get around to tomorrow night, you got like a good couple of minutes in you. Because otherwise...
Of the worst, driest sex you've ever had. Which is any, I guess, at this point. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it would also be the best, wettest sex you've ever had.
As
because
well, yeah.
It's the only sex you've had.
Before
you just
now,
don't
just
want
just
a situation
just
where like she turns to you and she gives you the look that means... Like she hasn't started undressing, but she's about to. Mm-hmm. She gives you that look and then you're like, oh, I'm out. I gotta lie down.
Oh, should have emptied it. Should have emptied the tank.
You don't want to overtop.
You want to punish yourself until it hurts.
Yes.
Like, you want it to be in a bad way, and that'll give you a couple of extra minutes.
When you first show your penis to your beautiful bride, to the beautiful Mrs. Kessinger on that day, you wanted to say, is it always covered in grazes?
Yeah.
It's really purple.
Why?
More purple than I thought it would be.
It's very abraded, you know? It's very, not what I was expecting.
Although these are Americans, so they're going to be lubing that thing up.
Oh, man, yeah.
They're just going to be putting
all my putting Mormon lube girlfriends told me. All my Mormon girlfriends told me their husbands' penises were beat to shit the first time they saw them. So this makes sense. Yeah.
To paraphrase MF Doom, that dick looked like Apollo Creed after he fought with Rocky.
And that's what you're going for, ideally, you know? If you can't get there, we understand, but try. Put the effort in, you know? Do you love her? Do you love Lydia Kessinger? Then work on it, you know?
Yeah. Really work on it. Work the body. Work on it.
Oh,
kill the body and the head will die.
And look, to be honest, if you had a said, hey, you know, I need like 10 or 11 hours to myself tomorrow, wouldn't have been a problem with the mattress.
Yeah. Your wife wouldn't have nearly died if you had been punching your penis into ground beef for the sake of love. Alternately, do like one tactical one just before, like 20 minutes before. Oh, so you get home from the wedding, you get in there, quick sesh. Oh, I had wedding diarrhea. Can we sit down for a bit? I'm worried about the diarrhea. 20 minutes later. Oh, the diarrhea is clear.
I think we're safe.
I think we're safe. We should give this a try. Bam. Yeah.
It is safer, though. It is safer, though, if you turn up with your penis looking like an uncooked Italian sausage that you've squeezed really hard.
Looking like E.T. when he was dead in the river.
Looking like the captured creature at the end of Starship Troopers.
It's a fright. That is not the first time we have made that specific joke last. About an over-masturbated penis.
Oh, I saw a post the other day, Ben, that made me think of you, which was, what if they showed you E.T.'s planet and all the other ones were wearing clothes?
Oh, I think about that all the time.
Oh, he's just a freak.
Yeah. E.T.'s nasty.
Oh, try and get it looking like E.T.'s freaky finger, folks.
Also, so small detail from this, the fact that I'm moving a king-size mattress, it's really hard to do. Mm. I have one because of Louie and because I'm not a good dog owner. They're too big to be practically movable. King bed frames are a fucking nightmare.
I have mentioned on the podcast before, helping these friends move once, and they had like a latex mattress.
That's going to be so heavy.
The whole mattress made out of latex, like
that's
all the
be
way
insanely
through.
Insanely fucking heavy.
Not only insanely heavy, but like
grippy.
You pick up a corner of it, and everything is just drooping straight down. It was like, how the fuck do we do this? It was incredibly
difficult.
Why
did they have a latex mattress?
Is this like a piss thing?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is it a cum thing? I had some suspicions about those people.
I have some piss suspicions. No.
Unproven.
Are they leaving room in the king size bed for like later wives?
Oh, I think, personally, I'm
kind
like,
of plus one, plus two.
I am 100% getting to a king size bed one day.
They're so good. I would recommend them to everyone, especially if you have a horse-sized dog that sleeps on the bed.
I probably don't need one.
No.
We stayed at a resort last year where we had a king-size bed in our room, and we were like, damn, this is luxury. You could put your leg out in any direction, and you're still there, you know?
My king-size mattress was $60 more than the queen mattress of the same range. Admittedly, my mattress is garbage, but still, it wasn't that much more. I was like, well, fuck it, why not?
And granted, though, you do have to then, like, have a king-size bed frame, king-size doona, king-size doona cover, so on.
Fun life hack, though. King-size bedding, often on clearance.
Yeah.
Because it's the last shit left over.
Plus, a mattress can go straight on the floor.
Yes. Milk crate for a bedside table.
Hmm. Now we're cooking.
There's nothing like a mattress on a floor in a notoriously moist city.
Yeah.
We just got a king size doona for our queen size bed.
Well, that's the smart play. Yeah.
Got a king sized goose down doona. And then, like, we had it on the bed, and I was like, I'm too hot. Fancy I'm boy. Too fucking hot. That shit works. It's holding it all in.
They were in a little bit of a time crunch, Kessinger admits, so they hastily decided his wife-to-be would ride in the back of the truck, lying on top of the mattress so it wouldn't fly out of the cargo bed.
Now, I'm not a professional mover.
No.
But I think I can do better than that. Whenever we're moving something, like in a trailer or whatever, I spend quite a while like tying it down, you know, getting the winches on there and everything. And there's always some point halfway through where Elner is like, it'll be fine. And I go, will it? Because I've had enough experiences of like driving on the highway and you see something in the trailer starting to come loose.
Yeah.
It's a really bad feeling.
The consequences, if it's not fine, are like the final destinationing someone behind you.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I have the same thing. I'm putting like four ratchet straps on something that probably needed one. Mm-hmm. I'm like triple checking all of them. It takes fucking ages. But also, if something flies off, you're killing someone.
Even if it doesn't end in full disaster and you just kind of see something starting to come loose or like move around in the bed of the trailer or whatever, and you got to like pull over by the side of the road and try and tie it down again, it's all a very stressful experience that I would rather not have. Also, to be honest, don't want to see my beautiful wife-to-be fly away like in The Wizard of Oz.
This is the fucking stupidest version of this. It's not like they've just, you know, put like one loose rope over the top of it or whatever. Just being like, I'll just put my wife-to-be on it.
Babe, can you hold down my big hang glider on the roof of the car and I'll drive down the highway?
But I mean, if she lands, she's landing on a mattress, so that's nice.
Or she's not. And nice a mattress is landing on her, which I guess the cars will go over the mattress and that'll kind of...
How about this? A mattress is sometimes quite difficult to hold when you're just trying to like move it from one room to another, you know? I can't imagine it being terribly easy to hold on to as you fly through the air on it like a surfboard.
This is just like... I'm a safety first person. I'm not embarrassed about that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of that about myself. Think about things because the consequences can often be dire. Don't put your fucking wife on a mattress that's in like the back of your ute because she's precious to you, right?
I'm not afraid to say it. My wife is precious to me and I don't want her to fly away.
Like if you were looking forward to having sex for the first time tomorrow, don't put your wife on the mattress. It was supposed to be an easy 10-minute drive on back roads, but the trip was cut short when Lydia Kessinger and the mattress flew out of the back of the truck, which was going 50 miles an hour down State Street in Provo.
That's too fast.
That's like 76 k's an hour or whatever, 80 k's an hour.
Yeah.
That's like, this is the thing that gets me. If your justification for this was, it's a short drive, we'll just be going slow. Maybe. You're going down residential streets, you're doing like 50 k's an hour, whatever. If you're doing 80...
I would let someone sit on the mattress in the trailer if I was taking it to somewhere on the same street.
Yeah. And even then, I'm doing 20. I'm doing 20 to get over there. Quote, I remember looking in the rearview mirror and just seeing a flash of white, Alex Kessinger said. I thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Lydia can't remember any details of the accident. She can't remember many details of the accident. She remembers flying out of the truck bed, rolling on the street, and then running to the side of the road. She doesn't remember how high she flew or how she landed.
Jesus.
Good instincts on Lydia, though. She is a keeper. you know, she did, what do we call it? LARP. Look around. Run to the side of the road. Protect yourself. That's the acronym for if you float out of a car and you're on the back of a mattress. Remember the LARP system.
She did a classic stop, I mean, she's drop, lucky and roll.
That, yeah. It seems crazy, but, you know, it helped her.
It did. And that's why I'm telling you, the Bunta Vista Lister, you need to drum this into your head. Am I on the back of a mattress that's flying out of the back of a truck? LARP.
LARPing.
Look around, run, protect. Easy. I think that actually, think that works in nearly every situation. Active shooter, look around, run, protect. Food poisoning, look around.
Look around.
Run. Protect. Yes.
Mm. Bankruptcy.
Look around you to see if you're being followed by any agents from any of the financial bodies.
Run away from the bank.
Country with no extradition.
Yeah. Protect your Bitcoin.
Protect yourself by setting up new online aliases. She walked away from the accident with road rash and damage to her front teeth, but no, it could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. How are those wedding photos looking? I'm going to tell you how those wedding photos are looking because I've looked at them. I think she looks beautiful on her special day, and I would never take that away from her. I think she looks so happy, and I'm so glad that she is happy with Alex Kessinger. She's looking a little bit, like a tidy bit, like a little rough in the wedding photos because she mashed up her face in one of her arms.
Yeah, she sort of sailed out of a truck.
She went flying out of the bed of a truck at 80 kilometers an hour, and so part of her face has come off in scabs, and one of her arms is wrapped up like the Invisible Man.
Oh, darling.
But she looks so happy. Her hair looks beautiful. He looks great. Yeah. Her mom looks so proud.
They're a good-looking couple.
There's a photo of her from the night before in hospital. She's covered in bandages because all of her arms are fucked up. Don't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I think her mistake. Sorry. Here's another photo where it is clear that like she's chipped some of her front teeth.
Yeah, the teeth thing.
No.
Her mouth is closed in all the wedding photos.
Job.
Yeah. Because she chipped off the front of her fucking teeth. I know you guys want to get down. You want to have the bed ready for when you get home from the wedding. Do that like a week out. Sleep on the floor in your apartment for a week, Alex. If you must. Oh.
Yeah, I don't like looking at chipped teeth.
No, because you know that the inside of the tooth is exposed, and that's like
that's
bad.
Where the nerves are, and also
that's like when you hit the wrong thing in operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. No good.
Oh, sorry, I've just found a video, Ben.
Of her flying out?
No. So Lydia Kessinger has a YouTube channel, 49 subscribers. And there are two videos. One is seemingly her, I don't know, all fucked up after getting her wisdom teeth out. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Latter-day Saint missionary gets her call to Middle Earth.
What? Is it like a...
So my brothers decided it would be funny to do an exact replica of my mission call. So she is in fact... What, a Jehovah's Witness?
No, Mormons go on mission as well. That's, no,
is LDS, Latter-day Saints, is that?
That's Mormons. That's Mormon. Okay.
So there you go. Definitely Mormon. Definitely taking that mattress over to fuck.
Yeah, we called that one unbelievably accurately.
Yes, just spray some of the blood off.
Yep.
Oh, no, you don't. They would have had to have. They bought a new mattress, surely.
Well, what? If she was thrown far enough, if she was thrown away from the mattress and the mattress was undamaged, I see no reason to replace it, particularly.
As far as I can tell, mattresses are static objects that never change.
You can't be using the trauma mattress. Can't be conjugating your marriage on the trauma mattress.
It's a funny story for you to think about. What's all of the pain of having like your front tooth
yesterday?
Pulled out?
What's the pain of yesterday passes?
Look, a good quality mattress is an investment. It should be lasting you for like 10 years.
Yeah, strap it down. It's a fucking investment, so get two ratchet straps.
A good mattress that doesn't fly off when you're driving.
How about a good wife that doesn't fly off the top of the mattress when you're driving?
God. This next sentence, Ben.
Yeah. If the couple could go back to that day, they say they would have strapped the mattress down.
You think there's one thing that you would do differently?
Oh, if I could have my druthers on it, I wouldn't have gone flying off the mattress onto the road.
If I could do it all over again, I might not have just told my beautiful wife to stand on top of the mattress in the back of the fucking truck.
Yeah. You know what? Thinking back on it, there's only one thing I'd change. If and I that was for it to have not happened.
I would have put even
real,
the slightest
real sliding
effort
doors
in.
Moment.
Sliding ute tray.
Thinking back to that day that we played Russian roulette, I mean, if I could do one thing differently.
Yeah.
Would I actively courted the anger of the gods?
J.G. Burrows. Now, if I did it all again, I probably wouldn't have loaded my gun up and tried to shoot an apple off my wife's head at a party, causing her to be 100% murked to death.
Thursday, on National Secure Your Load Day, the Utah Department of Transportation and Utah Department of Public Safety hope other Utahns will do the same. I love National Secure Your Load Day.
Secure that load, folks.
Secure the load. And I hope all of our listeners in... it's national. So all of our listeners in the United States managed to secure a load for Secure Your Load Day. Doesn't matter where you took it, just as long as you got it.
Yeah.
Alex and Lydia Kessinger were lucky their unsecured load didn't result in lasting damage. After a day at the hospital patching up road burns and at the dentist getting fillings. Oh,
fillings?
I guess she got them. Well, yeah, all the stuff on the inside came out.
God.
They celebrated their wedding without any real hiccups.
Well, I might dispute that a little bit.
I can think of one fucking enormous hiccup. Oh my God, I forgot about this. As for the mattress, it survived the accident, but was ruined in a downpour while the Kessingers were at the hospital.
It's like 10,000 spoons.
Wow, we both went for the same song, but I went for the part about rain on your wedding day and you went for the spoons?
Yeah. Rain on your wedding day is the easy play.
Yeah, that was the easy joke. You got to that and then dismissed it and you went, like 10,000 spoons.
My mind is always discarding possibilities, re-examining pathways.
You don't take the second easiest... No, you don't take the easiest joke.
Yes.
You take the second easiest joke to let them know that you're not an idiot.
That's right. And never get joke insurance. It's not worth it.
No, just put that money in a savings account.
So they're doing it for the first time. Do you reckon there's any tooth whistle going on from the popped crowd?
But she's breathily tooth whistling in your ear? Oh, my God. Unbeatable. You'd nut instantly. Because you didn't spend yesterday pulverizing it like a punching bag.
That's right.
Yeah.
You thought it was more important to move a mattress.
And if you're annoyed that Lucy isn't on this episode and it's ended up like this, she's at a child's birthday party.
Do you feel bad now?
Yeah. I bet
so
you
who's
feel
doing
like
something important
prick.
Now?
Yeah. Sorry, just to be clear, she knows the child.
She's not crashed a child's birthday party because she loves fairy bread.
The child is a friend of hers.
The child is known to her.
Alex Kessinger is just glad his wife loved him enough to go through with the marriage after her accident. Like you kind of directly caused unbelievable physical harm to the woman that you love. So I probably
imagine if that was it for her. Like, you know what? my friends are right when they call you a fucking unbelievable dumbass. Just like a dead shit fucking the stupidest man on earth.
Yeah, I didn't listen to them until today when you were like, nah, she'll be right.
Well, just take the back streets and then also the main street at 80 kilometers an hour.
80 kilometers an hour. When you like actively endangered my life and fucked up my face before our wedding day.
And our wedding photos as well. They're all fucked too. I had a little moment
where I just thought, oh, you suck ass. And then I decided I'm no longer a Mormon and I'm going to go and suck and fuck my way out of Utah. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm going to Jamaica. Wagwan.
I'm going to hedonism too. They got a dispensary there now. I'm smoking up for the first time in my life.
It came from God.
It's a plant. How could it be against biblical law?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, he has some advice for other drivers.
Oh, this is the guy I want to take advice from.
Yeah, take advice from fuckhead McGee. Quote, I wasn't thinking, he said. If you have something in the back of your truck and you don't strap it in, you're not thinking.
So if I'm not thinking, what the fuck am I supposed to do about it?
Not thinking about you.
I think it feels like you tried to formulate something snappy out of this. Like the you know, the repetition, like he was trying to come up with something kind of catchy. I would have just said, strap stuff down. Like that's the digestible lesson from this.
The formulation that he came up with would have worked if the way that he said it was, I was really fucking stupid.
Yes.
If you have something in your back and you don't strap it down, you are as fucking stupid as me.
Yeah. It's a big photo of his face and it says, hey, do you want to be as fucking stupid as this guy?
Must rule to be an oaf. Just going about life like not thinking.
Beautiful endangered wife.
Yeah.
No thoughts, no anxiety.
It doesn't say how old they are at any point, does it?
They got to be like early, late 20s maybe?
I reckon.
Early 20s maybe? Early to mid. They want to get that knot off first and foremost.
Look, I've done some fucking stupid things when I was in my early 20s, you know?
Yeah.
Never blasted my wife out of a truck.
Yeah, me too. But I was also under the influence of drugs.
Yeah. I was on 4-ACO DMT. Then I made some bad calls.
Boy. Speaking of stuff that's really fucking stupid, it's time to see what they're publishing in Britain. It's time for Tabloid Phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
Already don't like this one, Ben.
I really wish that Lucy would have been here for this one, just because I think she would have enjoyed the amount of psychology that's involved in this one.
This comes to us from Metro. Ed Sheeran superfan gets married to Ed Sheeran doppelganger.
That's so crook. That's so unwell. All joking aside, not for the laugh, not for the riffs. That is the worst possible foundation to a romantic lifetime relationship I could possibly imagine. That's so wrong.
Are you talking about marrying somebody because they look like
Wished you were married?
Yeah.
That you idolize? Or are you talking about marrying someone specifically
because they look like Ed Sheeran?
Both.
Marrying a wall-eyed person?
Now, I don't think... I'm crossing my fingers that Ed Sheeran is not a listener of the show because I wouldn't want his feelings to be hurt.
He seems like a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy.
Nice guy. He's enjoying his life. He's living life. He's playing his music. People fucking love it.
Yeah.
People go crazy for his songs.
People go proper mental for a bit of well Ed mental. Sheeran. You
Birds
know?
Go well mental for and Ed that's, Sheeran.
That's great. That's great for everyone. Wasn't like was frankly made quite uncomfortable when he got to the point where he was like, I'm doing sexy songs.
Yeah.
I'm doing kind of sexy songs with rap features on them, you know, that kind of thing.
He doesn't have a face that's able to carry eroticism.
No.
No.
Or a body or
or a personality that lends itself to the sensual. He's no Sting.
He's no Sting.
Whereas you look
can't
at Sting,
imagine Ed
like,
Sheeran fucking you for 14 hours. Can
yeah,
you,
you look at at Sting and you go, "There's a man that fucks for 14 hours."
Oh my god, I bet that guy fucks so sweetly and so gently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Ed Sheeran, he's apologizing a lot.
Yeah,
yep.
Which he's is going to be there. Not in
he's going completely
bad,
red.
You know, but his whole body is going completely red.
He's happy to be there, which is nice. Yeah, but it's not the same as being fucked
it's
by Sting.
It's not the same as Sting. He puts a finger to your lips, and then 12 hours later, you're like, I haven't been present in my body because I was in space.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, I was dreaming with the Blue Turtles, you know? And here I am back with Sting, and he's making me a beautiful vegan breakfast.
Oh, my God. He's made you like a delightful sort of a tofu scramble. Ed Sheeran's not making you a tofu scramble because he's fast asleep 10 minutes later.
He's got some coconut yogurt and granola for you that he made himself in his oven, and it's fucking delicious.
And he's you need that because your muscles have the slow tense kind of reflex going on right now.
Mm. Yeah.
They have been worked slowly but firmly.
And he's doing check-ins. That's the beautiful thing about Sting is that you've had this beautiful wordless communion for 14 hours, and then afterwards he's brought you the granola and the coconut yogurt and a special South American tea, and he's explained the ritual and the culture behind the tea. And then he said, "No, I'm serious. Are you all right, love? Are you feeling okay? Is there anything I can do?
I just need to calibrate.
Would a massage help?" And he's giving you a little massage. He's massaging your feet after he's, I don't want to be crass, but after he's fucked you beautifully for 14 hours. And if you're, you're under 30, you have to understand.
Things were different.
Things were different. It was a different time.
Sting truly brought tantric sex to the consciousness of white people like us, didn't he?
Yeah. He introduced the tantra to the white man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bjork taught us to be, it's okay to be a bit crazy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
And when Sting has fucked you for 14 hours, all that you could do, say namaste.
Yes.
You know? An Ed Sheeran superfan has tied the knot with his spitting image, making the perfect duet alongside a host of Hollywood celebrity lookalikes. Perfect duet there is in a title case.
Is that
I
the
have
name
confirmed
of him?
It is the name of an Ed Sheeran song.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
I feel like there's maybe going to be a lot of that throughout this.
This sucks, man.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling to get through this.
I was tempted to like sub-edit this in a way I would not normally do to get rid of their jokes to make it more readable, but...
No, we have to enjoy.
We have to. Yeah, we got
to. This is
to.
Part
That's
of
journalism.
Segment. Part of journalism is we don't turn away.
Yeah.
You know? We don't turn away from the ugliness and the darkness.
Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Never wipe the blood off the blade.
Mr. and Mrs. Sheeran alike... Fuck. Yeah. Ty Jones, 29, now Baron Jones, and Amanda Baron Jones, 40. Look, it's all right. Again, there's something really...
There are so many roads being built in my mind between concepts.
Like, there's a lot going on in these opening sentences, and obviously... There are a 29-year-old dating a 40-year-old. That's not super crazy.
Two
it's a kind of big age gap, but they're both adults.
In this crazy old world, who's
they're both adults. But again, just pausing for a moment to think about what both people are getting out of this is like an upsetting place to turn your mind.
Yeah. And also, like, so he's 29, she's 40. Mm-hmm. Ed Sheeran is 33.
Yep.
So he's sort of closer to Ed Sheeran's age.
Right. And she's going to want that to be as accurate as possible.
Right? That's kind of the thing. Because I think if he was 40 and an Ed Sheeran lookalike, I think she would be like, nah, it's not going to cut it, is it?
You know what they say? I get older, Ed Sheeran stays the same age.
I don't know if that's true.
I get older, but Ed Sheeran stays the same amount younger than me as he was previously.
How the
Ed
fuck
Sheeran
is he only
frozen
33?
In time.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's like what the day I looked up Daniel Johns' age. I'm like, oh, you were famous at 14.
Yeah. Yeah, they were underage when they started playing their all of their like big tour shows, Silverchair. Yeah. And if you're from overseas and you don't know who Silverchair is, imagine a sort of like a Nirvana that's not quite as good.
Yeah. Imagine Nirvana, but they're in pajamas. As they're called.
They are school children.
Nirvana in pajamas, as the common adage goes.
I saw a little clip of an interview the other day with one of the kids from Stranger Things, or he's an adult now, Gaten Matarazzo. I'm sorry if I'm saying that incorrectly. Gaten? Who knows? And he was talking about, he was like, yeah, people would come up and say some pretty fucked up things to me. Like, I remember an adult woman coming up to me and saying, ooh, I had such a crush on you in the show. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm like a child, right?
Yeah.
She was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I know. He was like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. Can you back away from me?
You can't be saying that, Kimberly.
You cannot be saying that to that child. They walked down the aisle before sharing the quote,
best day of their lives.
Guests at the celebrity, parentheses, lookalike, wedding of the year were also given a surprise when it turned out Ty wasn't the only doppelganger in the room.
Hell yes.
All right, so it makes sense that if you are a professional celebrity lookalike, that your friends, of your friends, are also going to be professional celebrity lookalikes. And that's just not something that I've really thought about before until I read this story.
Yeah, like you turn up to a guy's house and you know the guy, but he also happens to look exactly like Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And you turn up and, like, there's a guy drinking a beer who looks exactly like Mr. Bean.
Yeah, there's a guy that kind of looks like Daniel Craig's James Bond, sort of, and he's just drinking a beer. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Now, there's a bit of a twist to this story, apart from it being insanely fucked up. Bit of a twist for me, which is like, I have a small hobby where I like to look at the websites of businesses that offer the services of impersonators.
Yeah, that's fun. That's a good time.
I like to look through the people that they have available and who they are purporting to look like, because often, not a great similarity.
Yeah. That's like, kind of the thing about celebrity impersonators, is that they often don't look, sound, or act like the thing that they purport to be.
Yes. And so it's often quite funny to me seeing these things where it's like, oh, here's, you know, a website with like a bunch of people impersonating Sopranos cast members. And it's like,
this
guy will come along and pretend to be Tony Soprano. And this lady will come along and pretend to be Carmela Soprano. And like, apart from just trying to wrap my head around the idea that thinking to yourself, I'm getting married to beautiful Lydia Kessinger. And I know what's really going to make the day. If there are two people walking around pretending that they are Tony and Carmela Soprano for several hours, right? Mm-hmm. Don't really get the appeal or how that kind of gels with your wedding or anything like that. I'm looking at this guy. He really looks a lot like Ed Sheeran.
This guy looks so much like Ed Sheeran. It's fucking crazy.
It's
like, he has got to be the only good celebrity impersonator in the world.
So for a woman who sounds like she be maniacally obsessed with Ed Sheeran, she's done pretty well here.
Yeah. Like, he is facially almost identical. I even think that he might be a tiny little bit wall-eyed as well. there's something going on in that stare, unless he's trained that.
Maybe his like part of his working condition is you can only take a photo of me with like a fisheye lens.
Yeah, to make it look like my eyes are pointing slightly sideways. It needs to be a fisheye. It's got to be real close to my face, okay?
Yep.
Got to be going out.
Otherwise, I'm blocking that photo.
It's nuts. This guy looks so much like him. It's fucking insane.
Yeah. So like, if you are an absolute psychopath about wanting to fuck and live with Ed Sheeran,
yeah,
that's this is really...
And statistically, there has to be at least one of you.
Yeah. One of you for real.
This is quite literally the like the best you can do other than Mr. Sheeran himself.
The real thing. And who knows if he's up for it?
Mm.
Does Ed Sheeran fuck?
Does Ed Sheeran want to... It does Ed Sheeran fuck a fan contest. Look that up.
Yeah.
Something about this as well is that like... So he's got his mates from work, right? His other celebrity lookalikes there, which well, I think you're about to list off who those are. But they're in costume for the wedding.
Yeah, they're so like to pretend to be.
They're working the wedding, even though they're his mates from work. This is like just for me, just to sort of put this in terms I understand. Mm-hmm. That most of my friends work in hospitality. Like we're all bartenders, basically. But when we go to a wedding, there's a bar there. But you don't get your friends to work the bar. No.
No. You know, they want to be there.
We'll help out. We do that. But like you're not we're not the people running the bar because you want your friends to just enjoy the day and not have to do that shit.
You invite me to your wedding, great. But don't expect me to write perfect, type-safe, linted Python code that passes unit tests, 100% coverage, is easily understood, performant, but not in a way that kind of messes with the ability for other people to understand it.
It's it's not needlessly showy. Certainly it's readable code, human readable code that performs its job well.
Doesn't rely on like a ton of packages either. Yeah. Sort of just usually just like default vanilla Python using the standard package, you know.
Yeah.
It's well documented.
Well documented. Yeah. Or it documents itself. It's really just self evident. You don't expect me to do that. I just want to have a nice time.
I just want you to have three beers and then say, I have to leave early. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because I had three beers.
I had three
beers. That's all I want for you at my wedding. Yeah. I don't want you to be there writing perfectly human legible functional code efficiently and well in a well-tested environment.
You don't want me sort of like just writing like easily maintainable SQL queries.
Yes.
For example. Like,
I mean, I do, but not on my special day.
Not on my special day. Yeah. Like, don't you'll ask your there. Friends to dress up and act like Jack Sparrow at your wedding. Let so this, them be
this
themselves.
Is what's fucked about this, right? Here's the list. Here's the list of other impersonators. David Beckham, Prince Harry, Jack Sparrow, Gordon Ramsay, and Keith Lemon were all included on the guest list for the Sheerans to be. They're also not going to be Sheerans, but
yeah, you like, do not get the title of Sheeran just by looking like or marrying
a girl. So nobody in the world impersonates.
You could though, right? Because that
you
can
change your name. By
you can pick
poll.
A different surname. No, not even by deed poll. As part of doing the marriage.
Yeah, you pick whatever.
You can pick a different surname. I've got, I know multiple people that have done that. They could have picked Sheeran as their surname as part of the wedding.
Is it my imagination or does nobody in the world impersonate Johnny Depp anymore? There are only Jack Sparrow impersonators.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Tell me one difference.
Jack Sparrow probably smells better. That guy looks really fucking stinky whenever you see a photo of him.
Jack Sparrow's not going to get out his bloody guitar and do a song for you.
No, that's
and do a like true. Play guitar on like one Nine Inch Nails song when they're touring or whatever. That's really weird.
Yeah, kind of sucks.
What's up with that guy?
Yeah,
no good.
Yeah. Speaking of layers, Amanda, a mental health worker, I'll say.
Yeah, there's some mental health.
Used to joke that she would marry the Shape of You star, and after dating his doppelganger for 2 years, they shared their nuptials. But Ty used to worry that his ginger roots weren't helping him in his search for love and used to hold him back. But how wrong could he have been?
No one loves me for superficial reasons. How do I find somebody that will do this? Oh, you look just like Ed Sheeran, my minge fright sloppy.
Oh, Christ.
The mother of five was introduced to Ty through friends who met him at a shearing gig, and just over a year later, he got down on one knee and asked her to be his wife.
That must have been really confusing to other people at the gig.
But why is he at the gig? Is he working the gig? Is he in the crowd doing his I'm Ed Sheeran routine?
There's a bunch of photos of him and Ed Sheeran together.
Well, that's upsetting. Weird. There's like, if Ed Sheeran was, like, he's already very famous. If he was slightly more famous, there's a version of this where this guy is Ed Sheeran's body double. Like, where he's doing, like, you know, when he's in Dubai.
Yeah.
And there's a risk he might be taken out.
Stunt work for Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. He distracts the fans while Ed Sheeran sneaks into the hotel.
Yeah. And sometimes he has to get his hands dirty.
Yeah, sometimes he has to fuck the fans to keep them away from Ed Sheeran. Which would be unethical, by the way, okay? Even if they, yeah, philosophically speaking, if they are 100% convinced that they had sex with Ed Sheeran, in a way they did have sex with Ed Sheeran, that would still be very unethical, and I don't think this guy should do that.
Yeah, let's just, all jokes aside, and we're all having a big laugh.
We've been riffing, we've been having fun, the jokes have been flying thick and fast. I don't think this guy should fulfill people's fantasies of having sex with Ed Sheeran by pretending to be Ed Sheeran to have sex with him. That would be deeply unethical. It's not something we joke about.
Oh, my God. So these guys only just got married, but they do already have children together, which is fine. That's legal.
She had the children.
So I believe she did already have children. Here is an article from 2022. I gave birth to Ed Sheeran's baby. I was exhausted, but still went to the singer's concert hours later.
God damn.
And then they reveal in the article that it's an Ed Sheeran lookalike?
Oh, there's just a single quote around Ed Sheeran's baby in the headline. A woman who had a baby with an Ed Sheeran lookalike was at the singer's concert just hours after giving birth.
What if they're not the same lookalike?
No, it is Ty. Okay. It is Ty. She had the baby 3 weeks early at 4 a.m. And then she went to the concert that afternoon or evening or whatever.
God damn.
That's some stuff going on.
Let people enjoy things.
No. Oh,
no more enjoying
things. I don't think
things.
We should.
My goodness.
If I hate it, other people should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
That's axiomatic.
Yeah.
Amanda from Carrington, Greater Manchester, already thought all of her dreams had come true after having a daughter, Cherry. A nod to Ed's wife, Cherry Seaborn, and added the middle names Lee and Sheeran 2 years ago. You named your child after Ed Sheeran's wife and gave it the middle name Sheeran. And you're a mental health worker, you say.
Cherry Lee Sheeran
Jones?
No, something? Jones. Oh,
Baron.
Okay.
Baron.
It's Baron.
Cherry. Yeah.
Oh, boy. But they have now gone one better, and she said her wedding day was the most special day ever. The newlyweds are now heading to Romania to have a bit of downtime after the busy day. The pair walked down the aisle to Ed's song One Life and left after a kiss to I Don't Care by the Grammy award-winning singer.
So he's into Ed Sheeran too?
Well, I don't
I guess
know. Like what, I mean,
there's no comment from him on this.
Yeah. Was he just going to Ed Sheeran shows because of the obvious, or was this like a fun coincidence where he's like, oh, I fucking love this guy,
and I look a lot like him.
I look exactly fucking like him.
Do you think he has an internal life, or he just kind of remains in a stasis until he's required to act like Ed Sheeran?
You know, the end of the movie adaptation of Annihilation, mm-hmm. where the alien shape is just sort of mimicking her actions.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
That's what he does.
Yes.
That's him. He is the alien shape.
I was imagining him as
The Screaming Bear.
Christian Bale's character in American Psycho. The titular American Psycho pointing at himself in the mirror.
Saying there's nothing fucking there.
Yeah.
My mask.
No, there's Ed Sheeran there.
Ed Sheeran's there. He's kissing Ed Sheeran's bicep.
Wow. Ed Sheeran's fucking my wife. All my dreams just came true.
Shit. I mean, that's what they all want.
Oh. Wow. Sorry, that was the Inception wow.
Yeah.
The Ed-themed wedding also had lyrics from the Suffolk singer etched into the cake, but the happy couple decided they didn't want it to all be Sheeran-related. Really?
Yeah.
Just a little nod.
Fuck. Just the groom.
And had their first dance to another ginge, James Arthur. No idea who that is.
No idea.
Amanda said, "It's one of me favourite songs, and we couldn't have it all Ed-themed. People would think that's weird."
Fuck off.
Not until this point.
Can't be like 99% of it is Ed Sheeran-themed, but I played a single other song, so no one could accuse me of being a fucking psycho.
This is so unhinged. Like, obviously, it's not, you know, if you've like always been attracted to a celebrity or whatever and you end up with someone that looks kind of similar to that, maybe you have a type. Maybe there are things that you find attractive and things that you don't. Deliberately seeking out a shitty, not that shitty, this guy, full respect to him, looks absolutely like him, but like a simulacrum of like the thing that you actually want. This is just a seed of evil that will flourish into a tree of evil in your relationship. This is going to destroy you both.
What's this going to do to your children?
Yeah. What is this going to do to your children?
What's this going to do to your child that you named after the wife of the man that their father impersonates for a living?
He looks just like Duncan Idaho, but he is not Duncan Idaho.
he's the Tleilax Gola.
That's right.
That's right. But he says do not he's marry, here to destroy us.
Do not marry a Gola. First and foremost. And nothing but trouble. I got nothing.
Stay away from the Ed Sheeran Gola. This is one of their tricks.
Hey, your husband's not a face dancer, is he?
Oh, man. This sucks so fucking bad.
Like, all right, who's the... Okay, so we've got the photo here. We've got... Jack Sparrow. Yeah,
and like I said, you don't actually have to really look like Johnny Depp anymore because you can just put all the fucking kit on, can't you?
It's all the kit. It's the eyeliner. It's the beard with the little dreadlocks in it, you know.
We've got White Woman. We've got
there she is.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Who's the guy on the end?
My understanding is that this is Keith Lemon.
That's the Keith Lemon impersonator, yeah.
Who's Keith Lemon?
Now, my secondary understanding is that Keith Lemon is a comedian.
Yeah, a presenter, a television presenter of some kind.
I'm looking at him, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, that was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. This is the final episode before our live episode. It is in 4 days' time. I got on the blower this morning to Bob's Hire. I got us 20 more chairs, all right? So if you were sitting on the fence about coming and you're like, oh, maybe they don't have enough chairs, we have just enough chairs. Buy that ticket, Newstead Brewing Co. 7 p.m. start, 6:30 doors. We're at Milton. That is on Saturday, June 15th. It is going to be absolutely fucking nuts. It's going to be crazy. People are going to tell stories about this. You don't want to miss it. Get that ticket, buntavista.com/live. We'll be hanging out afterwards. We'll be playing some records. We'll be drinking some beers. If this is the sort of thing you care about, we're going to have Newstead's beers on. We're going to have Two to the Valley. That is a classic, very good West Coast IPA, probably a 3/4 time. That's a very solid pale. Probably the Japanese rice lager. That's a very good beer. We're also going to have a keg of the Mountain Culture collab that we did as the Scratch with them, the Porcelain Man, named after a thing from the podcast. That's a delicious, incredible West Coast IPA. We're talking Simcoe, Citra, Mosaic, Centennial. There's another hop in there as well, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But all the classic West Coast hops. We're talking Maris Otter malt. We're talking Crystal malts. Good. It's sort of a medium malt base, not super heavy like some of your classic American IPAs. Still nice and refreshing, but yeah, you're in for a treat.
Hey, look, don't look at the Porcelain Man. Just close your eyes and drink them now.
Just drink it. 6.9%. Beautiful.
Ooh.
We're not making any money from this. This part, specifically the beer, we're not making any money from this. I just get excited about these things. If you didn't understand any of the words I've been saying for the last minute,
mm-hmm. No idea.
Just let them wash over you.
Just kind of blanked out. They'll also be selling wine.
Yeah, they'll have wine and spirits as well.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic options.
Get yourself
there'll
a
be
gin
food
and tonic.
Downstairs.
I've been starting to drink tonic. Love those florals, baby.
I heard 6.9% and I knew it's not for me.
We're going to order one down for you. We're going to have a porcelain
shandy
for you.
Porcelain shandy? Yeah.
The porcelain shandy.
Served straight from the toilet.
You've probably stopped listening at this point because this is probably a year from now and you're like, why are they talking about one beverage that's being served at a live show that happened in a city nowhere near where I live a year ago? Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll see you on Saturday night. If not, hopefully you'll get to hear that episode very shortly afterwards. We got one of the best sound men in the business in Brisbane doing this for us. We got Benny Gibson. And if you're one of the people listening to this who knows who Benny Gibson is, holy fuck, you're going to be excited. we'll talk to you real soon. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Bye.